You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome in to the PHNX Suns podcast brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's number one sportsbook app. Don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a five-star review. I'm Lindsay Smith here with Saul Bookman and Espo. Gerald Bourget is off to some fun little vacation for the weekend, so he's not going to be here on the show with us today.
No, hold on. He's going back to Vegas. Yeah. As if we did not have enough time in Vegas just 3.5 weeks ago.
Yeah, you can only do Vegas for like 2 or 3 days, and you got to get the hell out fast. Mm-hmm. And to go back in 3 weeks is, man, that's a bold move.
It is.
It's a bold move.
But I don't know. I guess we'll find out next week how he's feeling after this one.
We'll see. Last time he came back, it did not go well.
So the title of today's show.
We all were at home for a little while last time.
The title of today's show is Sources, Pessimism About the Brooklyn Nets Completing a Kevin Durant Trade to Phoenix Suns or Wherever Else.
Yay, and Lindsay can read the title.
Everyone in the chat is already like, I'm nervous. Anybody else nervous? And then other people are like, wait, why are you nervous? What's happening? And then other people are like, no, I'm not nervous. I'm just exhausted and want a resolution. What camp are you guys in?
I mean, I would love a resolution, but I'm patient. I can be patient. If KD's the payoff, then KD's the payoff. It wasn't going to go any other way unless it happened right away. And so until KD drops a bomb, which could happen today, we just wait and see.
You can be patient all you want. Screw this.
I know.
I want a goddamn resolution to this already. Yeah. I am beyond impatient at this point with the Kevin Durant stuff. I'm sick of hearing this rumor from this person, this little tidbit from that person. Give me an answer. Are they dealing him or not? And if they are dealing him, is he coming to Phoenix or is he going somewhere else? Get it done already. I want to know what I'm dealing with for the Suns season and who I have on the roster to talk about and enjoy to watch.
I am trying to be patient, but I'm sort of more leaning towards, can we just get this done and over with already? Like, at some point in time, we'd like to start creating some content, moving towards the season with the people we know who are going to be on the team. And it's like, this team could look completely different should a Kevin Durant trade go down.
I mean, true, but I mean, like, listen, once KD comes, then we just sit here and wait for the season, basically. And we don't really have anything else to talk about except for what that means for the Suns for 2 more months. What? So I'm okay with all these stupid-ass rumors until, as long as it can last, until the day it has to happen. And then, boom, we start the season and we're a full go. Like, let's do it.
There's going
to
be like 6 roster spots they have to fill based on the people that they're going to have to deal just to make the money work. So it's not just going to be KD gets here and then, oh, let's wait for the season. It's going to be, how the hell do you make sense of this bench now and the rest of the roster when free agency is all but dried up at this point? Then you're talking who's going to get bought out, which if somebody's getting bought out from their team, they're not that good anymore. You know, like, so that there's all this speculation we're going to have to deal with at that point, too.
Well, let's talk about where we're getting this information from. There was an article put out from Ian Begley, a reporter covering the Knicks, the Nets, and the NBA for SNY TV. And they wrote an article titled, basically, why sources were pessimistic about Nets being able to trade Kevin Durant. Quote, no one wants to help. And then within the article, they wrote part of the pessimism stemmed from the idea that As of last month, there was little appetite in the market for teams to serve as a third or fourth team to facilitate a Durant trade. Quote, no one wants to help Brooklyn get a deal done, one team remarked. So obviously he also points out that, as with all trade talks, things are fluid and can change really at any point in time. But as of late last month, one source familiar with the Nets Durant dynamic said things were in a, quote, holding pattern based on past talks between Brooklyn and other teams.
There's just so much rumors. There's so many rumors right now. Like even somebody in the chat said KD's brother liked a picture of KD in his son's jersey. Like it's all over the place because nobody knows.
Yeah.
And some people are trying to take advantage of the fact that nobody knows. Somebody's in our chat talking about the Warriors offered five guys. What do the Suns have to offer? Well, okay, cool. That's another rumor. Like unless you're in there in the front office and you know exactly what's going on, it's basically useless. Everything that we've heard up until now outside of KD saying that he wants to be traded has been useless.
Yeah. There's nothing that has indicated what is actually this rumor's ridiculous to me. Nobody wants to help of course nobody wants to help facilitate and change the balance of power in the NBA unless they're getting something of value. And that's what it comes down to. At what point does Utah get involved with Donovan Mitchell because they feel their value is being reached, or whoever, you know, Sacramento's been talked about as a third team, multiple different things. Like everybody has to get something in this deal. Nobody's going to help facilitate a Kevin Durant deal to Phoenix or elsewhere just because, oh, we want to be nice. They need to get something of value too, because they're not going to just do it to do it.
And I think that's the hardest part, is trying to make sure you check all the boxes for all the teams involved. Because before DA signed the offer sheet that the Pacers gave him, there were so many different trade scenarios that Gerald had cooked up and others in the national media had cooked up that had three or four team trades happening that got Kevin Durant to the Suns, but they included DA as well going somewhere else. And I'm sure I would be shocked to find out that those calls weren't at least made, right? Calls checking in on a trade like the ones that we all had discussed multiple times. It just seems like it wasn't able to check the box for every single team involved, which is unfortunate for us more than anything, I think.
Well, I mean, even if the Suns didn't call, Gerald at least asked Sean Marks himself, hey, you want to talk about KD to the Suns? And he was like, nah.
No comment.
So, like, at least we know he's aware of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, as if he hadn't turned on ESPN or heard that Kevin Durant's preferred destination was Phoenix. Gerald broke it to him.
Also, four-point play. I know you're new here. Appreciate you watching the show. And yes, DA signing is a big deal, but the Nets never wanted DA from what all the rumors have said. So no, it's not really a factor so much as long as they can get multiple teams involved to give the Nets, quote unquote, the superstar that they want. So it doesn't really matter right now. The biggest thing is, again, we've been saying it for several weeks now, the next big piece that's going to have to drop, if this is ever going to come to fruition for any team in the NBA, is KD is going to have to drop the bomb and say, I refuse to play for the Nets. I'm not coming to training camp. I want out of Brooklyn. Until that happens, nothing's going to happen.
But the unfortunate part is that we saw reports earlier this week at the same time when the reports were saying that KD and Joe Tsai were supposed to be meeting at some point in time later this week, which would in theory be today, right? We haven't heard anything on that, but also the same sources were saying KD's not the guy who's not going to start. He's not going to not play.
No, he's
if
not.
If they get to training camp, he's going to show up. If he's on the Nets for the first however many games of the season, he's going to play.
I mean, listen, you're always the bridesmaid until you're the bride, right? So like you could always be cordial with teams and not want to screw teams over, and that's cool. But at a certain point, if you truly want out, and if KD really did say, I want out 2 months ago, then I believe that this is his way of exercising patience with the Brooklyn Nets to see if they can get something of significant value in return for them. And if the rumors are also true that the Nets continue to turn down good offer after good offer, well, then KD's done his part. KD's given them the opportunity to find a good deal. And now, you know, maybe this is the time where he's like, you know what? I don't care what Brooklyn wants to do anymore. I want out.
Yeah, look, I trust nobody's sources at this point. I trust none of the rumors. I won't trust anything until either a deal's done or we hear it from Kevin Durant or his agent's mouth. Because everybody wants to hold out hope because of one side saying this. There's a whole group on the other side saying, oh, well, it doesn't sound like it'll get done. Like, I trust none of it until until there's something solid. I mean, there's nothing. It's all random speculation at this point.
I mean, I think that's fair. I don't know. Do you guys think they're actually going to meet or have met or plan to meet?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
I think they'll meet with
Do you think we'll actually hear anything of it?
Yes.
I'm sure we'll hear they met, but like, unless he goes, I will not play for you, what's really going to come out of it? He restated he'd prefer not to be in Brooklyn. There's one of two things that have an impact here. He says, I'll play in Brooklyn, let's rectify this, or I will not play here, trade me. If it's anything in between, we're still in the same spot. If he just had a conversation that, to reiterate, well, I prefer not to be here, nothing changes at that point.
Okay, 4 Point Play said, I don't feel KD is going to force it. Do you guys think he is?
No.
I don't think he's going to.
No.
I don't know. I don't know why. It's just my gut is telling me that he's not going to be that aggressive with it.
I don't know.
Because why wouldn't he have done it by now?
I feel like he kind of did already, though.
Did he? He just said
asking, he wants to be traded.
Yeah, but asking for a trade is not the same thing as demanding a trade.
But that's significant enough, though. For most players, that's significant enough to get them traded.
But with KD, that could also be, and we've talked about it, these assistant coaches that he and Kyrie wanted back on, wanting to get Kyrie a contract. Like, it just saying, I'd like to be traded could be a leverage play for a lot of things. Now, saying and doing it publicly, I will not play for you ever again, is completely different at that point.
I feel like we're going to get that.
You think so?
I feel like we got a KD nuke coming.
Black Sunday asked, isn't that tampering? Is it?
What?
Would that be considered tampering?
What? No.
KD going nuclear?
No. KD can say whatever he wants. Yeah. It's him going to his employer and saying, I'm not happy here.
He's not.
If he went to the Suns and said, I want to play for you, do whatever you want, that's tampering.
Yeah, if he comes out and says, I want to play for the Suns.
But that's not tampering because the player can say that. It's if the Suns come out and say, Kevin Durant told us he wants to be here, that's tampering because the team can't make the contact.
What if he says, I was talking to Book and Book said, you should come to Phoenix?
Does it extend to player?
Yeah,
I think it does.
Yeah, because LeBron got in trouble for that, didn't he?
That's a gray area. Now, if you said, James Jones and I talked, that's trouble.
Basically, the moral of the story is, if you keep it on the DL, you're good. But once it gets out into the public, then you're not good anymore.
It's like any relationship.
Did you guys also see the Ringer article that highlighted like the 6 most, quote, interesting landing spots for Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
And they left the Suns off of it?
Yeah. I mean, it makes me laugh because somebody had Memphis in there. The Warriors were in there going back to Brooklyn. I'm like, how is going to the Suns not interesting? It creates a super team that would be probably the favorite in the West.
Could get Chris Paul his first ring. Could get Book a ring.
Could completely blow up in their face.
The Ringer sometimes is just kind of like they miss the mark so bad, and they're so biased to some teams. It's kind of off putting.
I feel like going to the Grizzlies would be interesting.
Yeah, it would.
And
definitely
staying in Brooklyn
be
would be interesting. But outside of that, I don't know that I would
consider.
Going
back to the Warriors would be interesting. Why would that be interesting?
I don't think that would be interesting. Yeah, that would just be like a let's run it back with this squad then, because they're basically all the same.
Send his ass to Sacramento. That would be interesting.
That would be so interesting.
You know what would be really interesting, too?
No, that's a good one.
Send him to Washington, have him go home, and try to turn the Wizards into a winner. Like, that's an off-the-board, interesting storyline. If you're going things that aren't probable that would be interesting, like those two examples work. But like, the Warriors aren't interesting. Okay, we've seen that. Great, he went back there. That's not interesting.
Aaron said, my fear is that Adam Silver will invoke, quote, basketball reasons if this trade goes through.
No, that won't happen.
I feel like that would
be really hard.
Not in this player empowerment era. There's no way.
And the only reason that they could, you know, make basketball reasons work in the Chris Paul deal was the NBA was running the team at that time.
The Clippers at that time?
No, they were running New Orleans at that time, I believe. So they had some power over things where that made sense in some twisted way. But so that won't be invoked. You're never going to do that, especially not to arguably one of your top three biggest names in the league. You're going to cut them out at the knees. That's not going to happen.
I think that'd be really bad for business.
Oh, yeah. It'd be terrible.
Really bad.
It was a shit storm when it happened the first time. So.
I don't know.
But it was the Lakers, so we didn't give a fuck. So
I'm going to put you guys on the spot, but I'll give you like 15 seconds to think of it real quick. We need a DraftKings pick of the week. So while I read this, get your noodle turning in your brain. You guys who are all listening and watching right now can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. And if you sign up using the promo code PHNX, after you make your first deposit, you're going to get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code PHNX, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
I got one right off the bat.
We got two then.
The Arizona Wildcats in football.
Okay.
Are projected to win 2.5 games this season. I'm easily taking the over on that.
Okay.
I think they're easily going to win 3. That doesn't matter. It's just, as long as it's over 2.5, that's all that matters. I would take those odds.
I am going to go with more instant gratification because we've already said that that's the way I like to move here. So I'm going to take an English Premier League soccer.
Pause.
Leeds over the Wolves. It's a plus 140 to take Leeds. I'm tempted by the draw. I was talking with my man Max in the other room who knows soccer. So I don't know shit about soccer, but I'm going to take Leeds plus 140. Tomorrow.
Did you ever do the three? What was the thing that Shane told you to do with
no.
The MLS is this weekend. It wasn't like an instant, but right then, Premier League Sundays.
Hey-o.
Sorry, I just really needed to do that. I've been watching Love Island. Have you guys ever watched Love Island?
I haven't, but I've heard so many things about it. Is it worth it?
It's amazing.
Do I have to like, did I miss the boat or can I just
watch Love Island or F Boy Island? Which one are we talking about?
Love Island UK. It's so good.
Love Island UK. Well, that's interesting. Well, that's your pick of the week.
Do we have a Love Island UK bet? Is there somebody we're rooting for?
No, this season ended. I'm not caught up, so don't spoil anything.
No spoilers. Eli said we need official PHNX Lindsay Beanie merch. I am 100% on board with that, and so is Isaiah. So just throwing that out there for you guys.
Talk to we don't make the merch. Talk to somebody else that's in charge of that.
These would be dope. You should just get beanies.
It's hot as fuck outside.
Ace, there is a U.S. version of Love Island, but it's unbelievably mid.
It's not even like Listen, if you can't handle wearing beanies in the summer, that's fine. I don't blame you. But we have a whole other half of the year that's great.
Yeah, it's 65 here.
It's like 70, 80 degrees. Why do I need to wear a beanie at that point?
It's not 70 to 80 degrees in December.
Yeah, it is.
You're tripping. And it's the desert. So like 60 degrees is way colder than 60 degrees other places. It just is.
Well, with climate change, you won't be the desert for a long time.
Oh, come on. Don't ruin everything for us. Also want to tell you guys about some giveaways we've got going over at gophnx.com. First up, we've got our Toast of the Month sweepstakes. We partnered with Four Peaks on this one. And if you enter, you can win a $50 Four Peaks gift card, a PHNX shirt of your choice, and a PHNX annual membership. So head on over to gophnx.com or click the link in the show notes to enter. Just a reminder, in order to consume Four Peaks beer, you must be 21 years or older, and we ask that you enjoy responsibly.
But that's not all, Linz.
It's not. You're right.
Look at this bad boy.
This is the box that your Flavoring Life OGs and PHNX giveaway will come in, should you be the winner.
Let's go.
More free stuff for you guys. One winner of this Flavoring Life sweepstakes will receive three bags of OGs, including orange creamsicle and tropical flavors, an OGs hat, a PHNX shirt of your choice, and a PHNX annual membership. Once again, you can sign up at gophnx.com or click the link in our show notes. You can also check out OGs online at ogsbrands.com and on Instagram at ogsbrands. And of course, you can find their products at your local dispensary. But again, You must be 21 years or older to purchase.
So, did someone get Derek party a shirt responsibly. Yet? No, still no
Derek. Why are you hating on Derek?
Because it's fun.
I think he looks good in that picture.
I like to give Derek a hard time.
He's jealous. Espo wants to be
he
on that.
He is jealous.
Graphic.
That's exactly
why
what
no, I want to look. I want to look like Derek.
Well, just start getting button-up shirts.
Just put we, my didn't, first we, step. We didn't put Espo on it because he wasn't at the damn pool party.
Hey, can you put that my too. Head on Derek too. For next time?
That's the most important part. You have to be there to have the photo.
Yeah, my 4-year or my 5-year.
Oh my gosh! Always.
My
can I flex something really fast?
Yes, you can.
Hey, chat. Do you like my shirt?
Oh my God, Shane! How did I not notice that was what you were wearing? That's fantastic.
Yeah. What does it say?
It's hot cross buns,
and it has the recorders all over it.
Nice.
It's next level.
Fantastic. I love that.
Thank you.
Okay, we are going to rank our top 8 movies of all time in honor of a MySpace anniversary that happened earlier this week. These are our top 8. Just like if you had MySpace back in the day, you had to basically rank your friends in order 1 through 8, 1 through 4, whatever it was.
Before we get started.
So we're doing this with movies.
Before we get started, Lindsay, I'm going to put you on the spot now since you put us on the spot.
Oh, boy.
Rank your top 5 PHNX employees. Go.
Lindsay.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey-o. I win.
That's terrible.
I'm glad.
I'm glad
That's
to know.
Mean. I would never.
I'm glad to know somebody has you in their top 5.
Exactly. If I don't, nobody else will.
I'm going. I'm going never. Shane because he controls our cameras or mics. I'm going to go Leah, Jacob, Emma because they're all producers and that could be in here. And Sean because he's a producer and he could screw us.
All the producers.
You got to make sure you take care of your producers.
I would go Max because without Max, none of the stuff that we're giving away would be possible. And I'm always thinking about you guys. Jacob, because no, I don't think anybody works as hard as Jacob outside of Shane, who's number 3 on my list. And then number 4 and 5 would be Leah and Emma. Absolutely.
Nobody works as hard as Jacob. We really got to say that.
Jacob really works a lot of hours. He works really, really hard.
I walk in there. He's watching golf.
The chat's saying, my number 1 is Chelsea.
He's also he also works on Saturdays and Sundays too.
See, this is why I would never do this.
Yeah,
because all it does is
Espo can't work on Saturdays because he has a 5-year-old.
Well,
I work every day of the week for this company.
You know,
we all do.
Okay, calm down.
Okay, all right.
Let's calm down with this.
Hey, Lindsay, remember at the start of the show when I was like, something's going to go wrong?
This is it. Exactly.
Why am I?
The something is always
you
Espo.
Did this.
You created did this.
You opened the can of worms.
Well, if you wouldn't have taken the easy way out with Lindsay.
Why? Then... So I could cause grief and relationship trauma?
If you would have done that, we would have been like, oh, okay, cool. And then we would have moved on.
What was the MySpace anniversary, by the way?
I don't remember. It was like a certain amount of years old or something like that.
Yeah, this day, like 20 years ago? 2003 was when it launched.
My God. We're old. Anyways, for those of you that don't know, MySpace was a social media platform.
It was like the social media platform before social media became a thing.
Did you ever get in a beef with one of your friends because you moved your top 8?
Totally. I always ended up having my sister in my number 1 spot, so nobody could be like, why am I not in your... Like, it's built in.
Oh, yeah.
I can't. It's family. Just, it is what it is. Tom, I can't change it.
Tom was always
or
number
Tom.
1 for me.
Yeah, Tom had to stay there, one of those two. Or your boyfriend sometimes, but then that was always weird too, because then if you guys had like a tiff or you broke up for like 3 weeks, you had to take them out of your top 8 or whatever.
Oh, shit.
The drama.
Lindsay's got drama with her boo. What's
going
on?
Drama. Anyway, back to what we were going to do in the first place. We're ranking our top 8 movies of all time. So who wants to start?
Why don't we start with Gerald's? Because he's not here to defend it.
Okay.
So we can give his
Are
list.
We attacking him for it?
Oh, we might.
It's his own personal choice.
Just wait, because after I read you the paragraph that I have to read as a disclaimer from what Gerald sent me on the show, you might have issues.
Of course, Gerald.
Get your nerdy voice ready.
So before we do that,
Lindsay,
let's pull
I can
that
just
back
wait. I could just imagine Gerald sending this and saying, "Lindsay, can you please read this disclaimer because I don't want people to get the wrong idea about my choices."
I mean, it was essentially something like that. Well, we'll read it after we look at his movies. So let's put Gerald's top 8 up on the screen. He's got V for Vendetta, The Dark Knight, Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back, Dumb and Dumber, Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, The Departed, and White Men Can't Jump. Well,
this guy has ranted about Harry Potter on this show before, and the hate
for
it.
Should I read the statement?
It doesn't sneak into his freaking top 8.
Yeah, let me read you the statement. This is how it started when he sent it. He said, also, since I won't be there, I would like someone to read the following statement on my behalf.
Oh my God.
Quote, narrowing it down to a top 8 was a nearly impossible task. God. Like the real MySpace, I would have elected for a top 16 if I could have. Regardless, even though I could not include Black Panther, Gladiator, or a Harry Potter movie, this is my list. Your boos mean nothing. I have seen what makes you cheer.
Oh, end quote. He goes with a Rick and Morty quote. Come on, Gerald.
His preemptive strike on us shooting it on his movie favorites.
It was so funny.
I understand everything but Dumb and Dumber and Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Now, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, entertaining movie. I enjoyed it. I prefer Get Me to the Greek more, but Dumb and Dumber, really?
I mean,
Dude, Dumber Dumber is
it was
like,
a fun movie.
Dumb and Dumber is hilarious from start to finish.
It is, like, but top 8 all time.
Because I mean, it's one of those good shows that you can like put on at any point in time, yeah, and it just, you could do like chores around the house while having them as like your friends in the background. Like,
if I'm
it's
talking
an easy go to
top 8 most quotable movies, sure, there's a lot of great quotes.
Sarah Marshall's the one that is like, ooh, I don't know. About
that one's
that one.
Fun though. If it's on TV, I will watch it.
It's a fun movie, but it's not like hilariously drop down fun.
Lindsay, that's Lindsay's version of completely disrespecting somebody's movie list. If it's on TV, I'll watch it. It's like saying it's so okay.
To be fair, I'm not a huge movie person. I don't have the attention span anymore to watch movies as often as I would probably like or used to.
Well, let's see your list.
Okay. I went with the do I rewatch it or did it move me in some way? Dark Knight, Shawshank, Back to the Future, Inception, Ferris Bueller, Life is Beautiful, Good Will Hunting, Ghostbusters.
I feel really bad because I'm pretty sure I picked Ferris Bueller as one of the most overrated movies when we did that.
It's fine.
A few months ago.
To me, it was a movie that I just watched a lot in my youth. So yeah, it made the list because it's one of those I can almost recite word for word in terms of it. Life is Beautiful. Most people are probably like, what? Okay, that movie was in all Italian about the Holocaust and trying to survive it. And it was the first movie I genuinely broke down in because I was so moved by it. So I put it on my list because very few films have ever done that to me. And I remember that one hitting me really, really mm-hmm. hard. And to me, it's you either have to be immensely entertained by a movie or immensely emotionally moved by it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Shawshank has that and it's highly rewatchable. That's why it's there. But Life is Beautiful.
I don't think I've ever seen Life is Beautiful.
There's a movie that reminds me of that. It was like, I think it was like One Over the Moon or something like that. It was basically about a kid trying to come to America. He's living in Mexico. He's trying to find his mom who's working in LA.
Yeah, you told us about this movie. I remember.
But the ending, like, ruined
don't
the whole
kill it.
Movie.
Don't kill it.
Oh, my
I might
gosh.
Watch it one day.
It's such a good movie, but it's so, it makes you, it goes, it makes you, like, so emotional. You're about to just lose it, like, and then you just are furious. Like, what?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, here's my list.
What you got?
So I got Willy Wonka, Shawshank.
Go ahead. Okay. I was just so shocked that Willy Wonka is your top movie.
It's my favorite movie.
I was so shocked.
I quote Willy Wonka all the time. Shawshank, Django, Wedding Crashers, Grandma's Boy, Forrest Gump, Friday, and then Finding Forrester. I like to laugh, obviously, and I like movies that are not too serious. Shawshank is probably the most serious of the bunch there. But Django, I feel like there's some lighthearted moments in Django, even though the topic itself is not lighthearted at all.
Right.
But the way that movie is, I could watch that all day, every day. And Willy Wonka, that is the origin of my sarcasm right there. The best movie I've ever seen in my life.
But we can all agree that Grandpa Joe sucks, right?
Grandpa Joe is an awful person.
Lying bastard.
Gotta be kidding me, Grandpa Joe. Really? Really?
I like your list. We've had the Grandma's Boy conversation before. That's the only one I would have a quibble with.
But at least you've watched it.
I've seen it, yeah.
So that's like, all that matters.
The one that hit me on your list was Finding Forrester.
Love Finding Forrester.
Because I remember loving that so much when I saw it. I was probably last year in high school when I saw it. And I never revisited it. Now I'm like, I could go back and watch that.
Yeah, I love. Well, Sean Connery's excellent in that. I forget what the other actor's name is, but he does a great job in it. And there's just, I just love the twist, you know, that comes with that movie. And it's just,
I don't think I've seen it.
Oh, you never seen
Finding Forrester? Is really good.
You gotta definitely watch that. It's a very good movie.
Forrest Gump to me, I enjoy it. But that's another one where, come on, can we admit, like, Jenny's just a horrible person?
Yeah, Jenny's awful, but the movie's not really about Jenny. So much.
I know, but it was like the Grandpa Joe comment. Like,
yeah, Jenny's awful. She's not the greatest, for sure. But that's the beauty of Forrest Gump, is that he can still overlook all her flaws because he just absolutely loves her. And I think there's some honesty in that purity.
I like it. So Hello says Gene Wilder and Blazing Saddles is her favorite Wilder.
I've never seen Blazing Saddles.
I haven't seen that either.
It was supposedly like one of the funniest movies in its time and is somewhat cringy now when you go back and watch it. Like it was making a very poignant statement at the time, but like I made the mistake of watching it on a plane and it was very awkward.
Humble Rumble, really? Juice? Come on, man. I mean, no. Tupac was all right, okay. But I mean, come on.
I have something to say about his last comment before that. Scorpion King. One of my favorite movies watching it growing up, Humble, if you haven't seen it in a while, go watch it again. The CGI in it is unbearable. It's laughably horrible. And the movie itself just isn't great. The writing is awful.
I do get what you're saying, though, because I used to love those movies. And to this day, if it's like just on in the background, I'm not mad at it.
What, like Scorpion King?
Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah, Scorpion King was electric at the time, for sure. But
they were solid. I didn't think Scorpion King was all that good. I thought the actress was really good.
I liked the whole idea of it. I thought it was cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay.
You know.
The Rock was all right.
All right. Mine, and I feel like I'm going to take a lot of heat for this. My number one pick is Son-in-Law.
Yeah.
It is my favorite movie of
Steven
all
Tyler
time.
PEJ. Steven Tyler PEJ.
Little America.
I'm sorry, but if Pauly Shore makes your top eight, oh my God.
I love Pauly Shore, though. His movies I love Biodome, oh, Encino Man, but Son-in-Law is my top one. Like, I love Son-in-Law. It's so great. Anyway, continuing on, I also really enjoy Pulp Fiction, Hocus Pocus, American History X, Almost Famous, Beetlejuice, Blow, and Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
What this tells me, if you look at this list, is you might have a drug problem that we're not aware of. How did Pulp you not Fiction, have Scarface Blow. On there too, right?
You know? maybe in my next life, things will be a little bit different. I won't be so buttoned up.
Eli,
I don't know.
Eli, right on the button. That is a roller coaster of a list. Hocus Pocus to Blow to Fear and Loathing.
Yeah, for real.
I don't know.
So Joel Martinez made a comment. It says, no Big Lebowski. I think Big Lebowski.
Oh, no.
Is an overrated movie.
Oh,
how many? How many times? I used to be in that camp, but how many times have you watched?
I've watched it twice.
Like twice.
Okay. It's one of those, the more times I see it, the more I understand why people like it so much.
It isn't two times enough to see if you like it?
It's one of those, if it's on, I'll put it on, and the more I've seen it, the more I'm like, all right, I kind of get it. Like, I wouldn't put it in my top eight, but I kind of get the enjoyment factor.
It's a top 400 film for me, I guess.
Joel said, Saul, my brother in Christ. Go take a laugh. Oh my gosh. I don't know. All had some pretty good movies on.
Scroll back up there, Shane. There was another movie suggestion. Keep going.
This is just thrilling for everybody.
He Got Game. He Got Game. He Got Game is really good too. I do like He Got Game, but you know, it's Ray Allen. He did an okay job. He could have been better.
You know what movie almost made my list, but I feel like I need to watch it one more time? Everything Everywhere All at Once. It was a super great movie.
That's on my list to watch.
I thought it was really good, but I feel like I want to watch it one more time before I can commit to putting it on a list like this. But the first time I saw it, I was like, damn, I don't even like movies right now at this period in time in my life, but that was good.
Which is so odd because you like to stay home a lot.
You know, it's so weird and I don't know what it is. But here's the thing, like, I don't have an attention span to watch a 2-hour movie, but I have the attention span to watch 6 episodes that are an hour long. I don't know if it's because I feel like the idea of being able to take a break after an hour 45 minutes makes it easier for me to keep watching. Yeah.
You know, when you're
watching, but the 2-hour time commit is just too much.
You know, when you're watching something at home, you can pause it, right? You can take a break at any point.
No, but then it ruins the flow of the movie.
Okay. And it's like, it's not the same.
Like, for instance, if she was to watch like a 45 minutes of Shawshank and then pause it or just turn it off and then come back at that 45 minute mark, it's like, damn, what just happened again? Whereas when you're watching episode to episode, typically at the beginning of the episode, it gives you a little recap of the last episode, so you're completely caught up. I get
Shawshank to me is one that I've watched broken up. Like anytime it's on, I just go and I'll watch it no matter where it is.
But it's different when it's like a movie that you absolutely love. I memorized Shawshank frontwards and backwards, so I could pick up at any moment and know exactly what just happened. So. Mm-hmm.
John said Natural Born Killers is my number one movie. I actually had that on the other night in the background. It's a solid, it's crazy.
It's a psycho movie.
It is, but if you go back at the time and like look at what the whole purpose of the idea behind the message, if you will, or the lesson you can learn behind it, I do kind of understand.
Maybe I have an adverse reaction to that movie because my ex-girlfriend used to be like really like excited by those kind of movies. And I was like, I don't vibe with this.
Red flag.
Like, honestly, maybe not. Faces of Death. Like, bro, what are we doing? Oh my gosh. That was like the worst video you could have ever rented from the video store back in the day. And it was brutal. Like, it makes you like nauseous. But she loved it. Oh, she was totally into it.
I almost included American Psycho on my list.
I don't know if I'm
oddly obsessed with that movie, and it scares the crap out of me that I am.
This is really opening up a lot
of
eyes.
Have you ever seen that one?
Yeah, I've seen that one. Yeah. But I've also seen this one, and you two got like psychotic tendencies.
I've never tried to push a cat into an ATM or anything.
Yeah.
Like, that happens. I don't particularly like Huey Lewis in the news, so I don't own an axe either. So.
Shane, since I'm putting you on the spot, what are some of, you don't have to rank them, but what are some of your favorite movies?
My number one right now, it changes a lot, but it's probably Whiplash. That movie's incredible. If you guys haven't seen that, it's unbelievable.
J.K. Simmons and Miles Teller.
Yeah, so good.
Not my tempo.
That's so hard. I am surprised that I wasn't really egregious, like blown away by any of your guys' movies. There was no terrible takes, so congratulations.
Hey-o.
Did you forget to look at Gerald's list? There were some horrible takes.
No, nothing terrible. Yeah, I don't know. I would have to really think about it. If you haven't seen Kung Fury, it's a YouTube movie. Go watch it right now.
Oh, that's the whole 80s.
It's vibe. So good. Yeah.
All right.
Somebody said Usual Suspects in the chat.
Love it.
I don't think I've seen that one either.
Problematic in now because of Spacey. And to me, it's after the first time you watch it, the whole hook, the whole twist, you know it. It's like what's the other one? Sixth Sense.
Okay. Sorry. I just watched that like
for
a month
ago. The first
time
ever?
No.
Oh, okay.
Sixth Sense, I rewatched it. Honestly, though, if there was a movie I could go back and watch for the first time again, it would be that one because I watched it when I was really young and I grasped the whole concept. But to watch it as an adult with like all, now that you're smarter.
Yeah.
That would have been such a great twist.
I will say supposedly there's hints in that movie that if you go back and watch knowing the big twist, that it is interesting a second watch. But I can't watch those multiple times because I know the big thing. So the whole drama to it is gone.
Coda Kid, absolutely. American Gangsta. That is top 15 for me for sure. Maybe even top 10. I love Denzel Washington. It's phenomenal. And especially in that scene where he tells us basically his nephews to just hold up. And he walks across the street and shoots somebody right in the forehead in front of everybody. And walks back and finishes his breakfast. I'm like, that's so gangster. So maybe I have some psychotic tendencies.
Don't we all?
Somebody mentioned Heat.
I don't think I've seen it.
I watched Heat for the first time back a couple months ago when I was out with COVID. And everybody says it's like one of the greatest crime movies and ever. And I'm like, it was okay. It was pretty good. Pacino and De Niro are good in it, but I was underwhelmed. Denzel, Josh in chat says, any movie with Denzel Washington is incredible. I agree. Denzel brings a level where you're like, yeah, okay, I could watch that again.
There's like, a few actors out there where no matter what they do, you're just like, yeah, I could watch anything that they act in because they're so good. Yeah. Denzel's definitely one of them.
Well, we've set you guys up for a really great weekend. We've told you about Four Peaks. We've told you about OGs. Apparently, it's National or International Beer Day, so you should definitely pick some up
every day
at some point in time today for the weekend, and then settle in and pick a movie from each of our lists, and then that's your
take
whole
some
weekend
OGs
right
and
there.
Watch Kung Fury, please,
or take some OGs and watch Fear and Loathing. That would be a good one too.
That might be scary.
It might be a little scary, but it could also don't recommend. Be a total trip. I'm just saying.
Drink some mushroom tea and have a ball.
There you go.
Hello said, I'm confident Lindsay will lose this one. This wasn't a competition. This was just a.
I said that from the beginning.
These are our legitimate top movies. No pandering. In these ones, these are just who we are as people.
Nah, we're gonna put a poll out there and see.
That's fine. We can do that. No. We still can. It's fine. But just know there was no.
The polls have not.
There was
been
no plan to win or lose this one. Oh my God, Jose! How did I forget Dazed and Confused? That is such a great movie. Oh man, I probably would replace Fear and Loathing with Dazed and Confused. To be honest with you. If I had just remembered that movie. It's a good one. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate you guys as always. On Monday, we have a special audio-only episode for you. It's a Purple People's Court, and you won't want to miss it. So make sure that you subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast so you get that in your feed bright and early Monday morning.
The Prestige is another one that once you know the big twist, it's not as interesting the second time around.
To Espo.
Until next week, you can follow me on Twitter at LindsaySmithAZ. You can follow Saul at Saul_Bookman. Even though Gerald's not here, you can follow Gerald at Gerald Bourget. And of course, you can follow Espo at Espo. Espo, take us home.
Remember, no matter how long of an explanation Gerald gave you, his list still has major problems. Ahoy, hoy.
Tell the Phoenix Metro, Megas in control, and he ain't never gonna let go. PHNX, though, Lindsay, Gerald, Espo. Saw past the ball, we here to turn up the tempo. Got to understand me, I'll always wreck the family. Rally in the valley like Dan G, no plan B. Always on the job, my team move like the mob. Turn the beat on, I throw it down like DA on the line.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.